This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on yet another frigid night, but not quite as frigid as it's been. Larry from Deerfield checks in again saying, I forgot David Lynch did The Straight Story, so thank you for that reminder. You're very welcome, Larry. That film helped me understand what my dad and my uncle had gone through in World War II and how they were coping with those memories. That scene in the Mount Zion VFW tavern was powerful. And that's another one I have to give a rewatch to. I saw it, but I don't know if I was distracted or what, but that is definitely worth a rewatch. Thank you, Larry. Rob Thomas is here. We are talking. We're going to transition into some Oscar talk. Rob is a film and TV critic from Madison, and he is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and does great work on his Substack. You can check it out there at Not That Rob Thomas. And right now, he's on Nightlight with us. So, Rob, what are you thinking for the Oscars? Do you have any slam dunk predictions or outside chance predictions? What are you thinking?
Well, the funny thing is now they always nominate 10 films, it feels like. So it's hard to miss. Right. like right. I could suggest, oh, maybe Den of Thieves 2 Pantera will be nominated. But it's probably a long shot.
Pantera.
I enjoyed that movie. I got to tell you.
Did you?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, I like a heist movie, and
I do too.
You know, a matinee on a cold day with a burger and a beer.
Oh yeah,
good stuff.
Did you
stuff.
See it at one of the brew house places?
I did. Yeah, oh, Flick's Brew House here in Madison. Yeah, I was. It was an enjoyable experience.
It's so funny because I saw the first one, and I love a heist film, and there were parts about the first one I really liked and parts I didn't like. But man, eating a burger and watching a movie on an afternoon, yeah, that you had me there.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. So I know I'll see that. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I'm very behind on my movies, but I don't think that'll be Oscar nominated, but you're right. You never
maybe
know.
Maybe next year. It's a 2025 release.
Oh, so, that's true.
That may hold it back. Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of an all over the map year, I think. Like the one for sure is Wicked, I think, because that's the one where you've got a lot of critical support and it's a huge commercial hit where, you know, Best Picture, Best Actor, Cynthia Erivo, Best Actress, Ariana Grande for sure, Best Supporting Actress. Although not Best Song, because there's no new songs in that movie. So that's kind of interesting. And then I would also point to A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan. That's going to probably Best Picture, Best Actor for Timothy Chalamet. Probably, I would think Best Supporting Actor for Ed Norton is Pete Seeger.
Oh, yeah. I hear he's great. I still haven't seen
it. Oh, you should. Oh, yeah. Pete, you really should see it. We got to talk about it.
I know. Yeah. I'm very behind.
Yeah. And then the woman, Monica Barbaro, who played Joan Baez, I think is also really good. I think she should be nominated. But a lot of them are movies that, like, I don't think are in very wide release, like Anora or The Brutalist is just starting to come out this weekend. Sing Sing.
Have you seen The Brutalist, Rob?
I have, actually. I just saw it.
Yeah. What did you think of The Brutalist?
I think it's a very impressive movie. It is a hard movie to love. It's a 3.5-hour epic about and great performance by Adrian Brody, who will be definitely nominated as this Jewish architect in the 50s who gets into this very uneasy partnership with a really rich guy played by Guy Pearce to build this huge, huge edifice. And super well made. But, you know, it's long. There's no question about that. And it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't deliver the emotional beats you expect. Okay. By the end of it, I was very satisfied with it, but there were kind of in the middle, I was kind of like, where are we going with this exactly? Like, why, you know, it would just be like, why am I watching this? So,
yeah.
That's but really interesting. I highly recommend it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's everything I'm hearing or reading about, I should say, is it's going to be Timothy Chalamet and Adrian Brody. And there was one more too, vying for the Oscar for the best actor Oscar.
Yeah. Maybe Daniel Craig for Queer, although he might get, I don't know. I'm not feeling a lot of excitement about that. I thought he was fantastic, but I don't think that movie got seen by very many people.
What about, go ahead. Sorry.
I was gonna say Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, I think, would get nominated. He's really good.
He was good. Yeah. He was really good. There were a lot of great actors in that film and I liked it a lot. I thought it was really well done.
I did too. That could definitely have a shot at Best Picture and, you know, maybe like a Best Supporting Actress for Isabella Rossellini. I really enjoyed it as well. I was quite entertained by it, which kind of surprised me, to be honest with you.
Got just a few more minutes here with Rob Thomas. Check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas and check out his work at CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor. Rob, what about Demi Moore in The Substance? Another one I haven't seen. I hear she's great. I don't know if I told you this last time you were here, but I've been watching Landman, the Taylor Sheridan show with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
She plays John Hamm's wife, and maybe in 10 episodes, she has 30 minutes of screen time, if that. And I'm like, did she need her benefits? Like, why would Demi Moore? And I'm joking, but I'm serious. Like, you don't know why actors, it could be just to work with Taylor Sheridan or John Hamm, but John Hamm's not even in it that much. But anyway, Demi Moore is getting rave reviews for The Substance.
I haven't seen it, but I agree with you. I hear she's getting fantastic reviews. And so I think she's a lock to be nominated. I mean, honestly, I liked her in that documentary about the Brat Pack.
That was
one of my favorite. She was so good in that. And that's kind of, you know, Hollywood likes a comeback story. So, like, she's been kind of quiet for a lot of years and she gets a great part like that. You know, although, I mean, it's a pretty extreme horror movie, The Substance. So,
that's what I
you
hear.
Know, you always hear about the older Academy voters getting turned off by stuff like that. But we'll see.
Yeah. I have to ask you something too. Do you ever see the movie Inside Llewyn Davis?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So about a week ago, I hadn't seen The Complete Unknown yet. It wasn't even in our theater in Marinette yet. So I thought, all right, well, this is about a folk singer. It's a Coen Brothers film I've never seen. So I watched Inside Llewyn Davis thinking, you know, it'd be somewhat comparable to A Complete Unknown, but having not seen Complete Unknown, I have no idea if it was, but what the heck was happening in that movie? am I missing something? Like, I love the Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
But they can do anything they want, and that movie seems like that's what they did. It was hard to follow, root for someone, be interested. Am I way off there? It got great reviews.
I really loved it because it was about, you know, a guy who wasn't Dylan. Like, he was like, he could have been, but wasn't quite in the right place in the right time, and also was a real jerk to everybody around him.
Right.
And kind of, you know, it ends with him seeing Dylan on stage, right?
Yeah.
At that same club. And so
which was kind of cool.
I would love to have seen Llewyn Davis in the audience of A Complete Unknown, like going, like, oh, damn it, you know, just sort of complete it somehow. But
yes.
It doesn't happen. But I really thought it was, the songs in that movie, Llewyn Davis, I think are great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, there's parts of it I really like, but I was just like, where is this going? And John Goodman was so weird in it. And like, he plays like this heroin addict and like just collapses in the men's room. And then you never see him at the rest of the movie. But yeah, there was some cool stuff. I felt like it was almost going for like an After Hours type vibe. That's a bad comparison. Never mind. I don't know. Something I missed about it, but it got great reviews and I'm obviously in the minority. So
it was not plot heavy. I'll say
right.
It's sort of like hanging out with this guy who you probably would not want to hang out with
if you actually
knew him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What are you watching TV wise, Rob? Anything you could recommend?
I'm kind of flailing right now. I don't know if we talked about Black Doves.
Yeah.
Last time,
did we talk? I couldn't remember if we had talked about
that. I brought it up. That's a great spy series. That's on
Loved
Netflix
it.
With Keira Knightley, Ben Whishaw. We hoovered that one up. So we're kind of flailing a little bit. I'd never seen Killing Eve. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah. I saw the first two seasons years ago, like 5-6 years ago, though. And then it went away for a while, I think.
I hear the quality really drops off after the first couple of seasons. But we're watching the first season and liking it, you know, not loving it. But we're kind of looking around right now for something to watch that can really, really grab us.
A couple more things. Okay, my daughter was home for the holidays, and she was really into The Walking Dead. And I think last time you were on, I told you we went on a zombie kick. And we ended up being on such a zombie kick, she wanted to watch Fear the Walking Dead, which I had seen. And I was not blown away by it. It has nice moments, whatever. But so I watched the first two seasons of that again with her. Did you ever see that show?
No, that was kind of a prequel, right? Like when it first starts?
Well, yes. Whereas in The Walking Dead, they fast forward a month when Rick was in the hospital. This is like you see it unfold in real time. And it's, again, there's some kind of cool moments, but it just didn't totally land for me. And now I'm roped in again because she's back at school and we're watching it over FaceTime. So it's like a hostage situation. But
that's sweet, though. That's a great idea.
Well, that's why I have to do it, right? I mean, it's your daughter and you got to do it. But I was going to ask you about that. What about The Agency? Have you seen that?
No, because it's on Showtime, right? I don't have Showtime. I have Paramount Plus, but it's not on there.
I think that's where I'm watching it. You might want to double check because I don't have Showtime either, but I'm watching it. I want to say it's Paramount Plus Roku channel, maybe.
Okay.
And it's Michael Fassbender. I find him really interesting as an actor. He's one of those guys that cannot do much and still be interesting, and that's such a rare quality.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a show that's right up my alley. If we can get it, we'll watch it for sure.
All right, maybe we can shoot to talk about that next time. But I know you'll be watching tomorrow, and I look forward to the next time we can talk, and we'll actually break down the Oscar nominations at some point. So that'll be fun.
Sounds great.
Okay, buddy. Have a great night.
Thanks, Pete. You too.
You got it. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work at CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor. Go to his Substack and Google Not That Rob Thomas. He does great work on both, and he will not steer you wrong when it comes to movies and TV. Bridget from the 818 says her favorite underdog. Oh, I meant to ask Rob who his was, but she says George Costanza. Wow, I have not thought of George Costanza as an underdog. But Bridget continues saying he's so funny. You're always rooting for him. He is neurotic, anxious, struggles. Then she says so relatable. Okay. And Steady Eddie. Let's save Steady Eddie for later in the show, Conrad. That's always a fun. He's always kind of a showstopper. And you never open with a showstopper. All right, coming up next, folks, from the movie Major League, a very funny comedian and one of the guys I really looked up to when I started doing stand-up in the 90s in Chicago, Skip Kiparis will join me after a very short break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she can't do a thing to
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
To announce, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a new sponsor here at Nightlight. Helping us light the night every night here will be, what better than a cigar company? Appleton Cigar on College Ave has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado or just starting out, pop into Appleton Cigar and check out their largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee. Over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. Conrad, you know what I like about a walk-in humidor, right?
What's that?
You just walk right in. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. They'll help you out if you're not sure yourself, like I think probably a lot of people aren't. But for the full experience, go to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Avenue, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. Keep your texts coming. We are our question of the night is, who is your favorite underdog? It could be from TV or film or real life. So let us know, and we will read your text on the radio. Joining me now on the show is a very funny stand-up comedian and actor. You might, I'm sure you've seen him if you've seen Major League, and I wanted to have him on the show for a while, and then when Bob Uecker passed away, sadly enough, that's what got me going, oh my God, I haven't had Skip on yet. So joining us now on the stream is the very funny, very talented Skip Gerperis. Skip, how are you?
Hi, Pete. How you doing? You know, it's great when my very famous friends die, I become popular right away. Is that a good thing?
I'm sure.
I don't feel like, I don't know if that, is that good? I don't think so.
Like when
I, you know, I played in the Olivia Newton-John band. When she passed away, everybody, you know, wanted to talk to me. The rest of the time, nobody cares. But I think I'm running out of famous, you know, former partners to die and give me some publicity. But
well, I'm sure your dance card has been full the last week. You kind of mentioned yes. It was in our exchange, but it's great to have you yes. on the show,
Thank
Skip.
You.
And before we get to Bob Uecker, I want to tell you, I'm not sure if I ever shared this with you, but I was a stand-up comic in the 90s and worked zanies a lot. My aunt, Trish, was married to a guy named Tom Higgins, who is Jimmy Higgins' younger brother.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy Higgins, great stand-up comic from Chicago. Sure. So they took me to a show at Zany's knowing I was interested in stand-up comedy. And Jimmy was the middle act. You were the headliner that night. And I literally had tears coming out of my eyes. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Was that horrible? Really, was that horrible? You cried?
I was crying because I saw the bill. And for a college kid, that was a lot of money.
It was. It's
you guys were a great show. Jimmy set you up perfectly. He was hysterically funny. And then you got up there with your guitar and you were doing Olivia Newton-John. I mean, it was just such a great night.
Thank you.
Good
that it was a good night. They weren't all good shows. Most of them were.
Yeah.
Once in a while, there's a clunker, you know.
I know. It's hit or miss. But are you still working the clubs?
No. I gave that up 15, 16 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I got too old. My subject matter was starting to not be relatable to the young kids coming into the club, you know,
okay.
doing impressions of Paul McCartney and so on to people that have never heard of Paul McCartney. It's not, you know, not a great formula for big laughs.
There was a guy in Chicago named Ace Sammarco, who I didn't know that well, but he kind of just hit the open mics and he would do impressions from people I had never even heard. Like when I was 22, I didn't know who Bela Lugosi was. And I'm like, this guy's up there doing Bela Lugosi and Thomas Jefferson impressions. And
oh, wow.
So it was kind of a stretch though. I'm sure he was great at it, but if people don't know who you're talking about, it's probably.
How do you know if he's doing a good Thomas Jefferson impression? That's what I'd like to know.
I just assumed it was, and I wanted it to be because I liked him personally, Skip.
Oh, good. Okay. That makes sense.
So what are you doing, cruises or how do you?
No,
okay,
no. At some point, the older audiences didn't want me poking fun at their musical heroes anymore.
Okay.
So I had to turn it around and do tributes to the same people I was, you know, poking fun at back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
I do Heroes of Rock shows. They're histories. I do histories of rock and roll. So it's a mixture of great songs, background information, and humor. History, humor, and the heroes and the hits. And
that
goes over really well. So I don't make fun of me or situations or whatever, not the actual artists themselves, you know. It's like kicking a dead horse. I still do all the voices and so on, and I play guitar, and most of my shows are solo. I've got 7 different shows. I've got maybe 8 hours of songs and material.
Wow.
So that's not easy at my age, trying to memorize all this stuff, because you know, but somehow I do it. And people love it. I kind of enjoy it. It's a challenge always to recreate these records and so on with just one guy and a guitar.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you ever come to Wisconsin with that show?
I played a couple times in Kenosha.
Okay.
For Frank Carmichael. I can't remember the name of his. It's mostly a comedy club, but then they've got another side with music acts and so on. I worked the comedy venue, which was a nice venue to work. But I haven't done a show in Milwaukee in a long time. Love to.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to come up. You know, there's a few spots around here that I think your show would go over really well. I'd love to have you in the studio. Tim Cavanaugh was here not too long ago, brought his guitar. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. So let's keep talking. I would love to have that. Okay. Is such a fun show. And who doesn't love the oldies? And I'm sure you add humor to it where it's just a really enjoyable night. And yeah, we'll have to keep talking about
it. Thank you. I'd like to think that it is, and audiences seem to agree. So
yeah. So Skip Gerperis is my guest. He is a former stand-up comedian, still out there working the road, playing shows, though.
Still out in the trenches, as we say.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure the audiences are much more forgiving than stand-up comedy audiences when you're doing tribute.
Oh, yeah. I don't get heckled too many times anymore. I did a senior center once, and some woman was just out of her mind and just couldn't stop talking. And, you know, what am I going to do if I can't slam, you know, a 70-year-old woman to get her to shut up? You just hope that somebody in charge would walk over to her and say, shh, you know, but that doesn't always happen.
God.
But it's usually they're participating, not complaining. They're participating too much.
Right. They mean well.
There.
Yeah.
They mean well. They're having a good time. And
absolutely. So we got to do a few minutes of news here, Skip. And then I want to come back and ask you all about Major League and your experience with Bob Uecker and your experience on the film and what it was like. I'm truly fascinated by that. So we'll do that after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwab hanging out with Skip Gerperis here on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just another night is all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in the dream of love so true.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Still time to get in and give us your answer. Who's your favorite underdog? 855-752-4842, or text us on the stream or on the app. We will read it on the radio. Got a couple we'll get to in just a bit. Right now, we are talking with the very funny, very talented Skip Gerperis, who was in the movie Major League. Not only was he in the movie, he was in the booth with our one of our favorite sons, Bob Uecker. Skip, it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Overall thoughts, what was that experience like on Major League?
Well, the first one was kind of a surprise. I auditioned in Chicago for it because, you know, they filmed it at Old County Stadium, which I understand is no more.
Yeah.
And so they came to Chicago to flesh out the cast. Most of my audition was for a ball player for an opposing team, and I'm at bat.
Oh.
I want to say the catcher might be giving me a rough time or something like that. So I finished that. And I said, okay, thanks. Now read for Color Man. And I had just one line. And I can't say it. I'm sure you want clean languages on here. So you can't say blank on the air. That was my line. And the movie.
He can say it?
No, I'm saying that's the clip I got.
Oh, okay. I thought we were giving you permission to use the word Skip, but I guess not. I guess you're right. So.
You got a clip? You want to? Yeah. So that was it, and they laughed, but I didn't hear anything for 2 weeks. I thought, oh man, I blew another audition. That would have been nice. And I got a call from my agent, Skip. You're Monty the Color Man. So that was awesome. So it's Milwaukee in June. So it's beautiful weather. It's nice. David S. Ward was the writer/director. He had written other movies before. I think the biggest moment, maybe the Milagro Beanfields War.
Oh, yeah.
Was a, was a respected film.
Wow.
I don't know if he'd done comedies before, but, and this was his story. He grew up in Cleveland. So this was sort of like him living vicariously through this story, because they hadn't had a World Series in decades. Like, you know, like me being a Cub fan, same thing until, you know, 2016, just futility for decades and decades. So I met Bob Uecker and I was nervous. You know, here's my first movie. I'd done commercials and plays in Chicago and stuff, but this was a movie. I had my own trailer, you know, all that stuff, wow. Stand in, like, this is crazy. So I walked up to Bob and I couldn't wait. I started talking to him and he'd just taken a bite of food and I was so nervous. So he's like spitting out his breakfast as I'm trying to just say, introduce myself. And he was very nice. Nice all the way through the movie, both movies. And of course, very funny, very professional. Bob, they would hand him a whole new speech right before the shot. And he'd sit it in front of him and he'd kind of look at it for maybe a minute. He said, okay. And they turn on the camera and he would nail it.
Wow.
Like that. The man was amazing. And of course, he has ad libs that stayed in the movie. So he added some of the humor to our scenes. And particularly in the first one, we had some downtime. We'd go to an adjacent empty booth. And he would just tell me baseball stories one-on-one, you know.
Oh,
and
man. Like, how like cool. I'm thinking,
I cannot believe this. Bob Uecker is telling me funny baseball stories, and I'm making my first movie. It was, I was black and blue from pinching myself all over the place. But it was awesome. And the first-time director, he had never directed a movie before. Tom Berenger was not pleased at that time. They didn't jive right away. Took them a while to figure it out. They eventually did. And it was just so good. And the first day, I didn't know if I was doing good or what. I didn't hear a peep out of the director the whole first day of shooting. We got 3 days of shooting for this. Not a peep from him. I'm thinking, oh, man, I suck. He can't even say anything to me. So he walks up to me the second day, early morning. He says, hey, Skip, we washed the rushes. You're really funny.
Oh, nice.
And I'm thinking, what a left-handed compliment. I'm really funny, but they didn't even watch me the whole first day of shooting. Here, I thought I was in the frame, and I was. They didn't even care. Uecker had he had the lines. The joke was that here's a color man who has really nothing to say. Right. And which was based on a real-life broadcast team, David told me, out west somewhere. Where you got loudmouth, blustery play-by-play, and the other guys just really doesn't do anything. And he realized there was some comedy gold there and wrote great scenes. And of course, Bob augmented it with a few, ad-libs of his own. And we didn't know it was going to be a hit movie.
Sure.
You never know.
Right.
It's like, well, this is funny to me, but I've been wrong about a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
It comes as number one in the nation first 2 weeks, and it's never looked back. It's been popular 35 years later. This is insane. People are still talking about it. They still watch it. They still love it. They quote the quotes from that. Is there a more quoted movie?
Right.
I don't know.
You know, it's funny. Our question of the night is favorite underdogs. Nobody's mentioned the Cleveland Indians from your movie. It must just be. I remember, I think Uecker has a line in the movie where you say something or you nod your head or say, uh-huh, and he just says he's not the best color man in the business.
This is for nothing. Yeah.
And I'm like, how cool for Skip. I didn't even know you, but I'm like, he just got taken a shot. Uecker just took a shot at him. It's so great in a movie. So fun.
And it was funny to me, too. So I had, I can't burst out laughing. It's just as funny to me as it was it is to the audience. So I just got to go with it. And it was awesome. And it made me a name around the world. People around the world know of me. Now, I've been out in the trenches now for 61 years doing different combinations of music and comedy. 61 years.
That's
all I
got to
do is one 3-day weekend. And everybody around the world knows that. And most of them have no idea of my actual talent, you know? Acting is one of them. I have a degree in speech and theater. I didn't come into it unready. I studied, you know, I did my homework. I got ready to handle some the responsibility, and I knew enough to know that I was the foil, as we say in theater, or the straight man. That this is Bob's show, and I'm there just to give him a little something to bounce off of. Yeah. I understand it, you know.
Yeah, it's so great. And, you know, you had this great career where you did really well for yourself and you were a big success. But all of a sudden, like you said, a 3-day weekend, now your name is on something and you're part of showbiz immortality. That's got to be such a thrill.
It's crazy. Yeah.
What were the other cast members like? You mentioned Tom Berenger. What about Sheen and Wesley Snipes? And
didn't meet any of them. Like I said, they shut down the rest of the production for the weekend.
Okay.
Who knows where everybody else went? The only other people, I mean, I knew one of the Fanatic fans, Bill Leff.
Yeah, Bill,
from
sure.
Chicago. Very funny guy.
Great guy.
He hosts a cartoon show in Chicago now.
Yep.
He did, he worked the crowds. You know, you had a lot of stand-ins in the stadium, in the seats. And he would work them and kind of keep them interested and energetic and whatever. And he agreed to do that if they'd give him a part in the movie. So they gave him one of the Fanatic fans.
Yeah.
And there he is.
He and a couple Second City guys, I think, too. And Bill told me stories about when they would go in to get paid, like they got a per diem. And they couldn't even believe their per diem was like $75 a day. And they'd get their per diem and they'd start waving the checks and cheering. And people.
Oh, you've talked to Bill already.
Yeah, he's been on the show a few times too. But I kind of had forgotten about that until you just mentioned that. I remember him telling me that story back in the day. It was sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So he was smart. He said, well, yeah, I'll do this. Give me a
brilliant
part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they said, okay, one more Fanatic fan can't hurt. And I think he added to it. You had crazy Randy Quaid out there, or was that the second movie? I'm trying to remember now.
Second movie, yeah.
Yeah, there was another guy, kind of a John Belushi type, I think, was from Second City, and now I can't remember who else was in the Fanatic fans, but I know Bill. Bill used to do a bit that was so funny and so tasteless, and it's not vulgar, so I can tell it here. And he would do this right before bringing me up. He'd be there's MC feature and headliner.
Yeah.
And he would feature right in front of me. So right before bringing me up, he would back up and bump into his microphone stand. And he'd go, oh, I thought that was Karen Carpenter for a minute here.
I forgot about
it's like,
that.
You know, we all go, ooh, but it was hilarious. You know, I felt,
oh,
felt
that's
bad for the
so
woman.
Funny.
I met her once.
Oh, really?
I used to play when I was with Olivia Newton-John in the late 70s, playing in her band. We used to play various Las Vegas towns, Nevada towns like Las Vegas. And we would go in. We had the option of coming in the day before, and then we got to see the last show or whatever the preceding act was that was leaving. And I saw everybody from Frank Sinatra to Neil Sedaka and
nice.
I can't remember who else, but Karen Carpenter did a solo show with a band. And so I knew how to get backstage. And I just, after the show, I just walked in and introduced myself. And she seemed a little, I don't know how to describe, uneasy.
Hmm.
I don't know if she thought I was going to hit on her or what, but I got to leave. I'm going to the beach or something like, well, okay. I'm just here to say hello.
You hadn't made major league yet, so you couldn't cash that ticket in with her. So.
No, I couldn't. No, that was pre. That would have been like late 70s major league. We didn't film until 88. So right. I didn't have any.
Edge that way. Skip, yeah. What was that like with touring with Olivia Newton-John? I mean, she's such a huge star,
especially then.
Yeah, tell us what she was like and what your experience was like. That sounds so fun.
Well, I got in to the band through their then drummer, who I had done an album with in Illinois, Joliet, on Mercury Records. The band was called Trilogy. Superb album. I'll put it up against anything. Mercury didn't promote it. It died. The group disbanded. Hmm. But he remembered me. Olivia's first agent in the United States was in Minneapolis. So they picked up a band there, which was actually a jazz fusion band, but they would accompany her on the road, and they needed an acoustic guitar player that could finger pick and then sing backup vocals. And so I was initially hired by the band, and I didn't meet Olivia until our sound check. And I looked over at her, and I just couldn't talk about pinching until I'm black and blue. I'm on the same stage with Olivia Newton-John. She's at the height. This is 1975. She's the biggest thing in the world, and she's gorgeous, and she sings like a bird, and she's sweet, and she's so nice to me. And I had a terrible crush on her the whole 4 years. I couldn't help myself, and I would go, and every time I talked to her, it would be hum 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 hum. And I, you know.
Like Cliff Clavin or something.
I'd go see her, you know, decades later, and bring my wife, whatever, and it's still hi, Olivia, nice to see you. I was always making an ass of myself because I just couldn't relax. She was so intimidating, but not really. I mean, she was just very sweet. My wife was taken by how down to earth she was, how much she loved me. And I don't know what I was worried about. The last time I saw her, she came back to finish a couple concerts when she got diagnosed with cancer for the last time. And she gave me a shout out in the show. I had sent her some nice flowers, and we went backstage afterward and talked for a while. And she was treating her cancer with radiation and health foods and supplements.
Okay.
She decided not to go chemo again.
Chemo, yeah.
Yeah. This was her third time. And but we played all over the world. And we played Japan and Australia and Europe and all over the States, Canada, Hawaii. And she was just great. She was a very consistent performer, always sang great.
So much great stuff in your career and your experiences. I remember when you did your stand-up act and you would impersonate her and say, and the words you did in the song were, "Have you never been mellow?" And you'd swing your head back like Olivia Newton.
Oh, wow.
I lost it. That was that first night I saw you. That's how much of an impression you made on me. Skip, we got to do a really quick break, and then I want to ask you what you're watching on TV before we let you get out of here. I really appreciate your time tonight. Skip Kerperis is here. We talk Major League, Olivia Newton-John. We'll wrap this up when we come back and have a couple more minutes with Skip. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Those of you sticking with us on the stream, thank you so much. Great to have you with us Wednesday on this Wednesday edition of Nightlight. We have just about a minute or two left with my friend Skip Kerperis, who has had a really, really different and cool career as a stand-up comedian, playing with Olivia Newton-John, being in the movie Major League, playing opposite Bob Uecker. Skip, again, appreciate your time. What I do with everybody on the show is ask them typically what they watch on TV, if they can recommend anything bingeable or a good movie.
Oh, boy. No, I'm probably the wrong guy about that. You know, I watch the Colbert Monologue. I watch Saturday Night Live. I watch the Chicago shows, Med, Fire, PD. The Law and Order shows.
That's all right.
That new, what's that? Oh, God, I can't think of the name. That quirky gal, that the older woman that's a detective.
Is it Elsbeth?
Detective. Yes.
Yeah, that's supposed to be really good. I haven't seen that
yet. Pretty good show. She's very entertaining. She's got a great personality. I can't think of too much else that I don't spend a lot of time watching TV. I got so much work and practicing to do.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you one more thing about Olivia before we go.
Yeah, sure.
So everybody can relax. You know, I was a little too crazy about her, you know, when I was working with her. 20 years later, Olivia's restraining order against me expired. So I just wanted you to know it was all good. You know, no hard feelings.
Well, we had some texters who were about to make a citizen's arrest, so I appreciate you sharing that information with us. And and if there's ever anyone to stalk, I shouldn't even make that joke. But yeah, she was a treasure. So let's keep
wonderful.
Talking, though. I would love to see your show come up this way. And
me too.
Yeah,
anything
it would
you
be,
can do, appreciate it. Love to see you in person. Thanks,
yeah,
Pete.
That would be
appreciate
fun.
Being on your show.
Appreciate the time, buddy. Have a great night.
Okay.
Thanks so much,
you too.
Skip. All right. That's Skip Gripperis. Check him out in Major League. So much fun. Daniel from Menasha checking in on the text line from the 920. He says, loved Major League. He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks. That's exactly what the line is. I couldn't quite nail it. Thank you, Daniel. And, you know, I meant to ask him if he ad-libbed like just a bit outside, right? That was written into the script like that, you know.
Ball 8.
Ball 8? Ball 10. So great. We got a Steady Eddie text here we got to get to. 608. Steady Eddie says, Pete, my favorite underdog, Rocky, in the original movie. That's two for Rocky tonight. Adrian. I'm not going to try to impersonate Sylvester Stallone, but that's a great one, Eddie. Maybe the greatest underdog in movie history was Rocky. Very possibly. You could certainly make that argument. Thank you all for your texts tonight. They were great. And your calls. This was a fun topic to discuss. Speaking of underdogs, we have a mall security. One of the biggest underdogs really is Paul Blart. And I love this clip. We didn't get to it last week. Let's close the show. We'll come back obviously, but let's end on a high note and do some Blart.
I found it first.
No, you didn't.
Ladies, problem. What's the genesis?
She's trying to take the last push-up bra on this size.
Well, I need this one now. I have a date tonight.
Really? Is he blind?
Whoa, waterproof shoes and baggies on the socks. Not my first rodeo. Okay, ladies, need to see some ID.
No, you don't.
Ma'am, I should warn you, I do have the authority to make a citizen's arrest.
So does anyone. I could arrest you right now.
That's true, she could.
Hey, not talking to you. Okay? Can I see you for a second, please, ma'am? Look, I understand your sensitivity. I've had some issues with weight myself.
Are you calling me fat?
No. I'm just saying I've been down that road. I mean, I'm still on it. We both are, you know, stranded. Let's face it, we eat to fill a void, right? But as soon as I started eating healthier, I noticed I wasn't so moody. P.S. Your skin's gonna clear up.
Can you hold on to these?
Sure.
I know you're new here and all, but backup seems like a pretty universal term.
I'm not like embarrassed how much I like that movie, but I...
Oh, you shouldn't be. It's amazing.
No, but I took a lot of abuse when I saw it. Jimmy Pardo was one of them who really let me have it. And my son is older than his by 5 or 6 years, so he hadn't really gone down the kid movie road yet. But like I said before, Paul Blart is one of the first live action films my son and I both really liked at the same time. And, you know, I was surrounded by a bunch of jaded comics and they were just like, oh, you know, but it's great.
It's so
funny.
It
holds up. It's really funny.
I don't know if the second one does, but the first one definitely does.
I haven't seen the second one.
Really?
And I love, well, I might've seen it, but it was,
I
don't remember
it
the way I do.
It's just okay.
One. Yeah.
The first one is just great.
The first one, the girl who plays the love interest, I think was so brilliantly cast. She's like, pardon me, she's sweet, she's pretty, but kind of spacey, has a fun quirkiness about her. She was in Glee too, and she was really funny. That was a great cast. I don't remember her name, but yeah. Fun stuff. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Skip Gripperis. Thank you to Rob Thomas. As always, thank you for your texts and calls. We will be back tomorrow night. Kate Stapleton will be here. She's got a film in the Door County Film Festival. We'll talk about that. And our popcorn pick of the week will be brought to you by Greg Vadney from the Aurora Museum in Manitowoc. So another fun show tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, this is Pete Schwabba. On behalf of all of us here at Nightlight, which is me and Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Why would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
I want this speech out of me.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.